So exciting week in terms of Revelation. Still on the same message, hopefully bringing it home today. Got some calls last week, and you know, people, I usually ask people when I do speak to you, what part of the message spoke to you? And a lot of people kind of really spoke to the fact that the Malachi, where you're robbing God by robbing him of the opportunity to bless, you know, to do what he, to be God, spoke to a lot of people. If that spoke to you, let me see your hands. Like, that was one of the things that spoke to you. Yeah. Somebody tried to say to me, yeah, but, and I was, you know, and they tried to like take it away. And I was like, you know, they immediately tried to go back to the works and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, if you really just understood the love of God, God is less interested in your works and more interested in your heart. Because works that are not of your heart are not works that are acceptable anyway. You can do the works and not have a heart commitment to it. And if you don't, then God doesn't receive that. Remember Cain's offering and Abel's offering. And, you know, he rejected one, he accepted another. So two people can do the same exact thing in Jesus' name and not get the same results. Or some people will get no results at all because your heart's not committed to it. Makes me think of the scripture given, should be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And then it says, for God loves a cheerful giver in the Amplified, whose heart is in his giving. So again, I'm talking about finance, because people try to just use that only for finance. God wants your offerings to be pure. He doesn't want your leftovers, or as Mr. James would say, your dregs. He doesn't want the stuff you give him. I got a tithe, so here. I don't want to rob God, so here. And God doesn't want that offering. He wants an offering from your heart. And if you think about yourself as a child or to a parent, or if you have children, you don't want your kids to come to you on your birthday and go, here, so I don't have to hear your mouth, here's your birthday present. You know, that's a sad feeling. And God wants your heart more than your actions. He prefers obedience over these sacrifices. So God wants your heart. Do you hear this noise outside? Is it coming through? No? A little bit? Well, hopefully they kept going. It's a lot of Spanish celebration going on around me. So you just have to work with it. But I'm seeing the purity of God's love a little bit better than I ever had. I think we put so much on the works of God and the works of ourselves that we kind of forego the love of God in a real, real serious way. And listen to my heart as I'm saying this. God is not interested in the works. He's interested in our heart. The word clearly says that. I'm not telling you anything that's not scriptural. But I think we, because we're so caught up in works, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? We get so caught up in works that we then try to put a works nature on God. Markel said it's Dominican Mother's Day. Okay, well, there you have it. So they have a different Mother's Day than okay, got it. Well, now I know. I love that you shoot me the little text and stuff and give me the updates. Okay, and I'm gonna mute my thing so it won't ding. Listen to me. We're so caught up in works, and we think that God judges us by works. Are you listening to me? That without realizing it, we judge God the way we believe he judges us. So we judge God by works. Does that throw anybody off right there? We judge God by works. You decide if you're in good with God or not based on if things go your way or not. You decide God is pleased with you if your prayers get answered the way you think they should get answered. You decide that God cares for you or loves you if nothing goes the way you don't want it to go. Never mind the way it needs to go, but the way you think it should go, and you start to put God in the workplace. So now God either loves you or doesn't love you, approve of you or don't approve of you, pleased with you or don't. I hear people say all the time, yeah, well, something happened to somebody. Well, you know, God don't like ugly. So they, right away, they're immediately thinking God is sitting there looking for you to make this issue or make a mistake so he could come down on you with the hammer. So then you made God into works. So you're now judging God by works and not his love. Do you believe God loves you all the time? Unconditionally? Then why would you ever then try to stack what's going on in your world around you up against his love and never dare make that comparison? You got that? God's love doesn't change. It's consistent. If God really judges the way we think he judges us, every one of us would be going straight to hell, savior or not, because we screw it up so often in ways that we've decided is not screwing it up, but it's still screwing it up. God loves you, children. He loves you. He loves you with a passion that no human being could ever explain or express. He loves you in a way that you would never understand. He loves you. And he's always looking for the opportunity to show that love to you. Let me say that again. He's always looking for the opportunity to show that love to you. Let me say that one more time. God is always looking for the opportunity to show his love to you. But we limit him by our lack of faith in his character and his care. We don't stop him because there's certain things that's in his spiritual law that says, I'm covering you. But then there's levels of it that you can't enter into without faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. And if you don't give God that faith to work with, his care is still there. The residual of his love sometimes is so great that you guys are just living a great, comfortable life off of the residual and not being in the perfect will of his love. Let me put my Bible down 1 second here. I've learned this week that we talk about being in God's permissive and God's perfect will. How many of you have heard that through your church life? Let me see your hand. Like, well, yeah, you're in God's permissive will now, but you're not in his perfect will, so therefore his blessings are not flowing because you're not his perfect will. And God spoke to me this week and said, there are people who are walking also in my permissive love and not in my perfect love. They don't understand that. And they think working in my perfect love is the way you try to act toward people. So you try to behave and be nice and not be offended and walk in love toward people. You know, well, I'm just not going to say nothing. I'm just going to walk in love. You think that's walking in love. Your heart ain't in love. You just saying, I'm not going to say nothing. If I wasn't walking in love right now, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, right? That's not walking in love. And God said to me, you're trying to walk in something that's not my perfect love. And your perfect love toward God and you receiving his perfect love towards you makes you respond out of perfect love toward others. As Jesus said about the woman taken in adultery, she is forgiven much, loved much. It's not a behavior. God is love. And I'm realizing that I have a very shallow understanding of what that love is. And I've been thinking that it's good behavior versus bad behavior instead of the fact that he is love and he doesn't know how to be anything but love. And I want to learn more about that. I want to get a better grip on that in my own life. And I've been asking questions about it and thinking about it. And me and Angela were talking about it yesterday about the love of God. And she was explaining it and I was listening to it and I was going like, you're talking about good behavior. It's a different thing when the love of God permeates your soul and then you just act out of that love. How many of you bear witness to what I'm talking about right now? There's the difference between behaving well and trying to act like you're walking in love versus you just receiving the love of God and then letting that flow out of you. It's hard to give somebody water when you don't have any. It's hard to encourage somebody when you're not encouraged yourself. It's hard to love somebody when you've never been loved and don't know how to love. And it's hard for you to share the love of God when you don't have a real, real understanding of what the love of God is toward you. You got me now? I can feel the stillness in the room, even over the Zoom. I can feel this, like this real quiet. Yeah. But take it in. God loves you, and he loves you unconditionally. I've heard that all my life, but I just still kept saying, yeah, I know it's unconditional, but you know, God don't, you know, but there's no but. There's no but. So what happens? Well, Jesus said, if your heart condemns you, not you have peace before the Father. Sometimes you just cannot receive God's love the way you need to because your own heart condemns you. And that's an issue. You can't accept it because you've decided. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? You don't tell me you're listening to me, I'll stop talking. You decide you're not worthy of it, so therefore you don't receive it. But God's position does not change. His love for you does not change. In the best of your times and in the worst of your times, God's love for you is consistent. Do you believe what I'm saying to you today? Wave a hand at me if you believe what I'm saying to you today. God's love is consistent. I don't care where you are. Your ability to accept it and receive it is hindered when you allow the enemy, who is the accuser of the brethren, to tell you that God has this value system. And so now you're judging God by works. You're looking at things around you and thinking that God doesn't love you because things are not going the way you want them to go. And right now you just might be in a place that you just can't hear clearly because you allow so much clutter to get into your spirit. Take yourself off of this scale system that you've given God, because your numbers don't go up high enough to calculate God's love. They just don't. They just don't. And that's what I want to share with you this week as we bring this home. God saying to me, a lot of the reasons people fear me is because they don't know I love them. And that is what began to bring it home for me. If they knew how much I love them, they would know that they have nothing to fear because my love would protect them. How much do you love your children? What would you do to protect them? Would you do everything in your power to keep all harm from them? All pain? All misery? If you could stop anything from coming to them, would you do it? That was negative. Why would you think God feels less about you as his child? Why would you think that? God is not in league with the devil, and he doesn't work with the devil, and he does not elicit the devil's help to help train you ever anywhere. He does not allow the devil to attack you so that you may learn. That's church bullcrap. It's not backed by scripture anywhere, and it's a spit in the face of God for any preacher to stand up there and teach that lie. It's wrong. God has no league with the devil, nor does he use him to your benefit, just like you don't use your enemy to raise your children. Scripture says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. So, with all of that said, I can't now go back and go over the earlier scriptures. I'm just going to pick up from where I'm going today. I want us to go to Psalms 91. And let's read that. Let's do that today. This is what we're going to do today. Psalms 91. Give you a minute to get there. I'm going there with you. Are we ready? It's a short psalm, but a very powerful psalm. And I want to expound on it in light of afraid to be afraid or refusing to walk in fear. Starting at verse 1, Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall rest under the shadow of the Almighty. King James says, he who dwells in the secret place. But I like whoever, because there's no he or she. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall rest. Whoever lives in the shelter of the Most High shall rest. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my God in whom I trust. That verse jumped out at me. That second part of the verse jumped out at me in a different way. I've heard this song. I sung the He Who Dwells in the Secret Place of the Most High song growing up. I've heard it. I thought I understood the lyrics. And I would say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my God, whom I would trust. And then it hit me as I read it again. Who will say of the Lord? Read it. Will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And verse 2 says what? What? What's the first word? First two words. Three words. I will say. Who will say? Point to yourself. I'm going to make this point, and it may rub some people wrong, but here it is. It's annoying to see Christians always running to get on some sort of prophet line or going to pastors or church leaders and everybody for them to have them speak a word over them so they can be encouraged to tell them who they are in God. That's the doggone shame. It says, I will say of the Lord. When are you going to stop prophesying your own destiny and stop waiting for people to tell you that you are blessed? Why do you need people to encourage you and tell you who you are in God when the word says you will say of the Lord, he is my help, he is my refuge. That's our responsibility. Having somebody else say it is cute and it may be encouraging, but the problem with encouragement is not long lasting if it's not reinforced with action. So if somebody speaks a prophetic word over you and says, now God told me you're gonna do this, and go, hallelujah, and run around in circles in the church and do cartwheels, whatever, you now have to go home and sit with that. You gotta now say it yourself. And you gotta say it, and you gotta say it, and you gotta say it until you know it. Because me knowing what you're called to do in God is gonna get you nowhere. But once you know it, that's when it changes. According to your faith, be it unto you. Not according to mine, not according to pastors, not according to bishops, not according to nobody, not even according to angels. It's according to your faith, be it unto you. So once, even if God speaks it to you and you don't receive it, you don't receive it. As we saw all through the books of Numbers and the books of Acts and the book of Kings, and as we went through them, these people didn't receive the word. They kept, what's that scripture that says, I don't remember it right offhand, for the word of God profit them nothing, being not mixed with faith. Somebody might know where that is, but he said, but the word of God profit them nothing, is New Testament, because it was not mixed with faith. God will speak a word to you. It's your responsibility then to take that word and mix it with faith and do it again and sit with it and sit with it till it becomes yours. And once it becomes yours, then it works. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God whom I trust. Back to where we are. The opposite of fear is trust. I will say of the Lord, say, I will say of the Lord. Say, I am saying of the Lord. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and I trust him. Say it. Remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the difference between just believing God for situation or just trusting God totally and it all works better other than, well, I'm in a situation, I'm just believing the Lord. Just living a life of trust and you never have to find yourself needing to believe. Just trust. That'll take care of all your believing for you. Truly? Amen? Thumbs up? Amen. Surely, I love this. He will save you. Watch this. Surely he will save you from the foulest snare, from the deadly pestilence. Okay, let's stop with that a minute. Maybe or surely. Maybe or surely. It says, surely he will save you, right? Surely. And I'm going to keep doing this throughout this message, so just get ready for it, okay? Just watch this. Surely he will save you from the fowler snare, that's entrapment, and deadly pestilence, that's corona. Ready? You ready? When I say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I will find refuge. When I say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, and my God in whom I will trust. Do you see the pattern I'm creating here? Do you see the pattern I'm creating here? I think Rhonda sent me the verse. Let me see what you sent me, Rhonda. Hebrews 4:2 is the scripture's reference of the word profit nothing unless it's mixed with faith. So that's Hebrews 4:2. Thank you, Rhonda. You're following my pattern? His faithfulness will be your shield. See that again? Faithfulness. It's not about having faith. It's about relying just alone, but it's about what you have faith in. Did you catch what I just said? Not about having faith, but what is your faith in? I've had people say to me, I believe, I have faith. And I go, in what? I just have faith. God will look out for me. Based on what? I just believe. You have no foundation. I don't know what you're talking about. You just made up something to believe. But I found something right here that tells me I have to have faith in his faithfulness. I have to have faith. I don't have faith in my faith. I did that when I was a baby Christian. I did that stupid, just name it, claim it. Think that whatever you say, God is supposed to give to you like he's a genie or some crap. And then I came to the realization, it's not about faith in my faith. It's about faith in his faithfulness. You hear what I just said? It's not about faith in my faith. Not about faith in what I'm believing for. It's about faith in his faithfulness. God is only obligated to be faithful to that which he promised. He's not obligated to be faithful to what you choose to believe. He's not restricted by the fact that you wrote it on your refrigerator and clicked your heels 3 times. He's not stuck to that. That's your thing. But his faithfulness is powerful. So let's do this. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. If you say of the Lord, he is your refuge, your fortress, and your God. If you say. You will not fear terror by night, nor the arrow by day. Finish it. If I say of the Lord, he is my refuge. You will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 will fall at your right hand, and 10,000, at your side, 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you when you say of the Lord, he is your refuge. How many you saying it? How many you saying it? Okay? So when you see disaster around, you should say, it should not come near me. Some 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my hand, but not near me. But you have to say it. And I'm going to make a point after I finish this verse right here. But it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. And then I want to say something. I'm going to pick up the rest of this. When you say of the Lord, he is your refuge. People have come to me and said, pastors have said they stood in faith and they died of corona. And they say that to me like, so. And I go, okay, so what's your point? I'm just saying this is a real thing. Yeah, so was leprosy. and your skin fell off and you peeled right off your body and you died and they isolated you and quarantined you and threw you into communities and left you to die back in the day when there was leprosy. What's your point? So what you're saying to me is because some have believed and died that I should now not say of the Lord, he's my refuge. I should look at their situation. I should judge whether God is good or not, or true or not, or real or not, based on what you say or what you say he said. But no God now? So God has diluted that quickly, that his word has no substance. I don't care if it's your friend or your next door neighbor or your family member stood and didn't receive. Why should that change your confession? Listen, if I fall over and die tomorrow, you still should say of the Lord, he's your refuge and the plague should not come near me. You still should say that. You still should say 1,004 at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I don't care. You don't know what my faith is. Don't you ever let anybody make you question your God and your stand, ever. And if I die believing, then I'd rather die believing than die being wishy-washy and not taking a stand at all. That's me. And I tell people all the time, you've heard me say it, don't go out there and try to be me. If you're that scared, you need to go outside with a whole hazmat suit and wrap a blanket around your whole head. But for me, I'm not walking in fear of that. I have authority over that. I refuse to walk in fear. I refuse to let anything try to convince me that my God is not a healing, delivering God. How many of you say I need a delivering God, healing God right this moment? I could use one right now. Well, he is there. He has never changed his position. He's never lowered his title, and he's never reduced his power. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same delivering, healing God that parted Red Seas and delivered people and healed the blind and raised the dead, and he's the same God. So I'm never backing down off of that, ever. So, verse 9, where do we want to find ourselves back? If you say, in the beginning it said, I will say, but now you get to verse 9, it goes to, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and if you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. It just proves what I've been preaching through the whole message. If you say, so let me help you out. I did a message a long time ago called the if condition. That's a small word that changes everything. If implies that if something doesn't exist, it doesn't work. If you come to the bank and put your PIN in, you can withdraw money. What's the if condition? If you don't, you won't. And if you go to the bank and you only follow half of the condition, you still get no money. I came to the bank, okay. I have my card, okay. Did you put your PIN in? No. Well, that's part of the condition. You don't get nothing. But it's my money, it's right there. Oh, yep, not, it ain't yours without that PIN. Without that ID, something completes that transaction. He said, if you say the Lord is my refuge and make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. If you don't, all harm will overtake you. If you don't qualify for this. Don't say your protection from God is automatic. There's no scripture in the world anywhere that says that. People came to Jesus for healing, and Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? Why would Jesus ask that? Thy faith has made you whole. All these kind of statements, he's saying, you need to meet me somewhere. You need to come with your PIN. You need your login information. I just believe God is able. That's good. I'm glad you believe God is able. That don't mean you get nothing. That means you just know he's able. And he is able. And he's going to do it for me. But if you don't believe, it ain't gonna happen for you. That's the word. I have to take the time to invest myself in believing. I heard Fred Price say this many, many years ago when I was a baby Christian. He said, you know, you guys go to work. Some people have to work 2, 3, 4 weeks before they get their first check. He said, but every week you go to work. And by faith, you expect them pay that, that person gonna pay you. You trust them. You don't know. You don't know if you got any bank money in a bank account or not. You don't know if that business is liquid or not. But you go in there by faith, and on payday, like, you better give me my check. I earned my check. You don't even know if you have any money, but you trust him. You just believe by faith that it's there. And then God, now I got to wait till he move before I believe. I believe he's more solid than any financial institution that ever existed, and my life proves it. So knowing God is able is not faith. Knowing God is willing and willing to do it for you, that's faith. Even knowing God is willing to bless me and not believing he will bless you, that's still not faith. Knowing God is willing and knowing that he's willing to do it for you, that's faith. I mean, you heard something right there. I mean, you got something right there. And trust comes from relationship. Trust comes from me giving you a chance to prove yourself. Are you listening to me, saints? Trust comes from me giving you a chance to prove yourself. When I first meet you, I don't trust you. I don't know you. You don't know me. You don't trust me. Right? Absolutely right. You shouldn't. But you give me a chance in a little area. You may just watch me for a while and see how I treat other people. Come on, saints. You watch me and see how I treat other people, right? So, well, he's good by them. Then you listen to hear what people say about him. Oh, no, if he say he's going to do it, he keeps his word. And all of a sudden, you say, let me take a chance and try it. Let me trust him. Let me do a little, with a little something. And then you test it. And you see, oh, wow, he does keep his word. He's faithful. And all of a sudden, time goes on and years go on, and you come to the realization, he's somebody that I can trust. And you'll say, no. Pastor say he's going to do it. He's going to do it. How many of you will say that about me? Pastor say he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to keep his word. Ain't no question about that. Right? Same way with God. Maybe at first you don't trust. You heard all the religious preachers talk all this bull crap about him. And say all this stupid religious junk that's not biblical. And you don't really trust. But then you watch. Can't watch anybody else look at me. Man, he takes care of me. And you got to say, well, okay, he takes care of him. You know, and people say, yeah, but that's pastor. God didn't take care of me because I'm pastor. I know a lot of broke, struggling, can't get nothing right pastors. So don't think the title entitles you to any free blessing. It does not. Then you watch, you say, okay. Then you listen to what people say about God. You listen about the people that are saying the Lord is good, and you see and you go, okay. Okay. All right. Then you try it in the area that you feel comfortable. And the more you begin to walk with him and you try him, you'll find out he is faithful. But you got to try him. You got to give him a chance. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You got to give him a chance to do what he says he does. It's not automatic, saints. Say, it's not automatic. Say, I have to believe and I have to stand. Amen. It's not automatic. So let's bring it home. If you say the Lord, it's on you now, is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, that's not visiting, that's dwelling. I will never stop dwelling on that word, pun intended. You can't have God as a visiting right. It has to be a living place. When you make the Lord your dwelling, that's where you live. People go visit God. People break God and break glass in case of emergency with God. People call on God in times of trouble. You can call on them in times of trouble. That's why you don't see no consistent blessing in their life. Because it says if you make him your dwelling, that means you live there. Are you listening to me? You have to live in that place. is not a visiting thing. It's not a place you go to when you can't find help. You have to live in that place of making God your refuge and your fortress. You have to train yourself in his presence that you don't see any other thing as your resource but God. And whatever he chooses to use, he chooses to use. But no thing in life is my resource but God. I don't look at man. I don't look at job. I didn't care if it was corona. I didn't care if they shut down the whole freaking world. I knew I would be provided for. Just like the birds of the air. They toil not, neither do they spin, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Are you not much better than they? Are you not? I'm asking the question. Are you not much better than birds? Well, he feeds them. He'll take care of you. But you have to make this your home. I can't feed my kids that moved out. I can't feed them. They call on me and they come visit me or they act, well, now they got whatever. I can help them. But I can't help you if you don't do well with me as much as I can when you do. You got it? You need to dwell here. Let's bring it home. You make the Most High your dwelling. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Doesn't this go against church teaching? You got to go to something to get something. Well, then why is this scripture in the Bible? Is this an exaggeration? Is this a figure of speech? Are you reading what I'm saying to you right here in your own Bible? Do you see this? If you say the Lord is my refuge, yes, I'll keep reading it again and again. And make the Most High your dwelling. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Stop saying it's God, it's the devil, and rebuke him. Stop saying God is responsible. He's not. He doesn't want it near you. It says it right here. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in some of your ways. Right, all your ways. You see that, right? Let me just make a point here. Ready? No disaster will come on you. Nothing will overtake you. No harm will overtake you. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Listen to me. This is going to mess up some church folk. You ready? Are you ready? Let me see a hand. Are you ready? All your ways, the good ones and the bad ones, the right ones and the wrong ones, or the mistakes and everything you do right. He will command his angels to guard you in all your ways, all your ways. They will lift you up in their hand and so that you won't strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and on the cobra. You will trample over the great lion and the serpent because he loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him because you love him. He will rescue you. I will protect him for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is God's word to you. So that means with long life, I will satisfy him. No, God, it's not God's intention that you die young. It's not God's intention that your baby die. It's not intention. No, none of that. 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 You got homework to do. I suggest you read this again and 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 again until it's in your spirit. That God wants you protected. He loves you. He loves you. And all the religious lies and the church doctrine bullcrap that's gotten out in the church, I always say to God, what are you going to say when these men stand before you in judgment, these preachers that are telling people that you let the devil do this to them or you caused this pain and harm to their life? What are you going to say? Because I know what the scripture says. Are you listening? Jesus said it'd be better for you if a millstone was cast around your neck and you were thrown into a sea if you deceive the little, these little ones, you're taking these people to come to church and they're just looking to you for their answers, and you're giving them religious jargon and crap that's deceiving them and making them think that the devil is their source, or the devil has some kind of control and power in their life. And he said, you're deceiving them, you're leading them astray, you're making them not trust God. Woe unto you when you stand before the throne. God's love in all your ways. But I know everything in my life ain't right. In all your ways. Well, there's things I could be better at. In all your ways, he will have his angels protect you. Are you listening to me? In all your ways. Say, in all my ways, I am protected. When I say of the Lord, say it. He is my refuge, my fortress, my dwelling, my God, and him only do I trust. Amen. I love you, saints. God bless you.